and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I am joined by a very special guest. This man is a physiotherapist and a strength and conditioning coach, and is all things health and fitness. It's Andre Dippenaar. How are you doing today, Andre?
Oh, man, fantastic. I'm happy to be here, Goff.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. I'd hate to have you here under duress.
No, not at all, mate. Let's get in.
Yes. Now, people may have noticed there's a bit of an accent going on there. Where are you from and why the move to Australia?
So I am from the beautiful country of South Africa. I made my move to Australia start of 2018. Essentially that was originally just to do a bit of traveling, see a little bit of a different part of the world. Ended up here, absolutely loved it, and decided to stay.
And we're pleased that you did.
Me too.
Now, why choose physiotherapy and strength and conditioning coaching? What was the motivation for that career choice?
So, as you know, I'm a sport fanatic. I absolutely enjoy my sport. And originally, that was kind of the plan, get involved into a sports team and stay involved in sports. Unfortunately, I was not good enough to make it and be a sports professional myself, so I had to look at a different opportunity or a different way to be involved in it. I started studying then with that intention, but quickly realized that there was actually a lot more to the profession than just sport. So essentially that was always in the back of my mind, but really started enjoying stuff like neurological rehabilitation, things where you can really make a difference in people's lives. And ultimately at the moment now I'm working in private practice where I see a lot of a variety of different conditions. But I definitely always love treating my athletes.
Cool. Now, we all know, of course, Andre, that warm-ups are for pussies, stretching is for losers, and lactic acid is a myth. Discuss.
Well, I hate to break it to you. That mentality is probably what keeps people like myself in business, to be fair. It's remarkable, though, thinking of how things have changed over the years and how science and evidence have evolved in what we've always done and what we do now. Prime example of something like that is, static stretching that everyone would have done previously, where now, sporting teams, everyone does a little bit more dynamic stretching. But it's always an interesting field, especially the post-care afterwards, the recovery, what to do, what not to do. I'm always a firm believer of the basics. The massage guns and the foam rollers are very sexy, but if you do not get proper sleep, if your diet is poor, those things are the biggest things that will make the biggest difference in terms of how one recovers.
What about lactic acid? Because there's a lot of people out there, there's a lot of opinion and conversation in regards to lactic acid and what to do and what not to do and what it actually is and what the feeling's like and all that sort of stuff. What is your opinion on that particular phrase?
So, I mean, lactic acid is definitely a thing. It's obviously a breakdown of when we've exercised and muscles have worked hard. And essentially, there are obviously ways how you can reduce that. Now, that's where a lot of science comes in and different ways how you can do that. For example, cold exposure, all of those things, the ice baths. So there's a variety of ways, I guess, how you can reduce that. But once again, it will all come down to how prepared are you in the first place for said activity that you're going to pursue. And unfortunately, if the body is not prepared for those activities, then that buildup of lactic acid will be real and will last for a while. If you are prepared and conditioned for it, you'll most likely recover much quicker.
But that's good. So preparation is key.
preparation is always key.
Now, for those folks out there who might, I'll ask you a sensible question. Now, for those folks who might have a muscle condition like a cerebral palsy or a Parkinson's disease that's going to affect their balance and their movement, how important is exercise and movement and all that sort of stuff?
Well, if you look at something like Parkinson's, cerebral palsy, stroke victims, they're movement is key, right? So with all of those conditions, obviously quality of life is affected. So where we as physiotherapists step in is essentially looking at ways to physically condition the body, and you know, that might be to get muscle length back into certain areas, that might be to improve muscle strength. But at the end of the day, exercise is so important, essentially, to improve quality of life. Yeah.
So, what about things like balance? Because obviously, if you've got something like cerebral palsy or Parkinson's, they're the two that spring to mind, your balance is obviously affected. So what are some things that folks can do that can help them improve their balance? It's just really simple, sort of straightforward sort of stuff that they can do sort of every day as a little bit of an exercise when they get out of bed, for example.
Yeah, well, I guess when it comes to balance, as we're talking about now, One of the main things are what you can start doing is to improve it, is start using principles like taking sight away. So, for example, saying you do a single leg stand to improve balance, well, just taking your vision away, that will dramatically reduce that time that you're able to stand on one, and that then allows that proprioception of the joints to improve. So proprioception is essentially the joint's ability to know where it is in space and in relation to my body. So for example, I can keep my elbow bent, I can look a different way, and something there tells me my elbow is bent. I can straighten it, and I will have that feeling of straightening that elbow. So that is proprioception, and that is one way to improve it. A different way might be looking at changing and minimizing your base of support. So, for example, it's much easier standing with a wider base than with a narrow base. So you bring those principles into, you know, into exercises, and that's essentially how you can improve that.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't understand, like for me, for example, because I can't see, the way people do balance is by seeing the horizon. So obviously I can't see, so I can't see the horizon. So my balance is pretty shit. And so I've had to spend a lot of time working on it and doing things like, for example, now this is a little bit probably more advanced than what you were talking about, but standing on the Bosu ball, for example, and doing balancing on that. Like, it took me like literally years to be able to balance on it properly, but now I can like do squats and stuff on it. And it took me a long time to get to that level of balance. Took a lot of hard work, but it was worth it. Like, the persistence was good.
Yeah, of course. So that is just another principle that we can use then. Changing our base of support to an unstable surface. So something like a foam mat, like a Bosu ball. So essentially, we use all of these principles and you just add them into different exercises to make things, you know, essentially fun and a little bit unpredictable. Because we are, as humans, we are quite, you know, we're amazingly adaptable. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes the human body so, you know, so amazing. So all of these principles we try and bring into exercises, and, you know, that then caters for whatever that need might be, whether it's improving balance or, for example, you know, different principles to improve strength.
So if somebody is listening to this, well, hopefully somebody's listening to this, but if somebody's listening to this and they're, let's say they're 20 or 30 kilos overweight, the last thing they should be doing is going to run a marathon, because the running with the pressure through the ankles and the knees and the hips, I mean, they'll just kill themselves. So what are some basic things they can do as a starting point to just get their movement going, to help drop a couple of the kilos so they can progress to going for runs and things like that? What are a few basic, straightforward things folks can do at home to sort of get the journey going?
Yeah, so, I mean, we can really talk days and days about weight loss, because that is a wide topic. In my opinion, tackling weight loss, you need to be looking at two things. You need to first be looking at how can, if I am overweight and I want to lose weight, how can I reduce my caloric intake? And the second part is, how can I improve my rate of what I'm burning calories? So essentially, it is not as simple as just saying a general thing. You have to take that individual into consideration. But at the end of the day, the calculation is simple. If you are burning more calories than what you are putting into your body, you will lose weight. So essentially, if someone wants to, just start by losing a couple of kilos, what I would say is, well, first start off by tracking what am I actually putting into my body. Now, in week one, that might be a bit tedious going down and writing things down. There's fantastic apps out there like MyFitnessPal where you can literally scan barcodes and you can put that in, and that comes up with the amount of calories. But that is something that I would start off first. Really know what, on average, you are putting into your body. Then there's way also how you can, calculations, how you can measure how much you are putting out, how you're expiring. But that's where I would probably start.
But in regards to safe movement, because if you are overweight, obviously, you don't want to be doing things that's going to be putting pressure on your back or your hips or your knees or your ankles. You want to do safe movements. Like, for example, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but things like static squats, just basic sort of squats and things where, like swimming, for example, where things where your body is not going to be impacted because you're overweight, so you don't want to be impacting your joints, for example.
I hear where you're going with that, but what I would say to you there is the body is amazingly adaptable. So I am not a believer that there's one form of exercise that's better than a different one. I firmly believe if we stick to the topic of weight loss, you should be starting off with the activity that you enjoy the most. That most likely is going to be the one that's most sustainable and thus lead to probably better weight loss.
Well, that's actually very sensible advice, because yes, it doesn't matter what you do in life. If you enjoy it, you will continue to do it.
That's right.
That's very true indeed. Now, when you have like a hip replacement or a knee replacement or something of that nature, how important is the rehab process?
Well, very, very important when it comes to joint replacements. So if you know someone that have had a replacement, you would know that on day one, they get you up in hospital. So the evidence is quite clear when it comes to that. Early mobilization is key. In the past, taking back 20 years or so, they would keep people in the hospital bed and you would stay there, where now we know that early mobilization is key for positive outcomes. So essentially, obviously, that rationale just continues down the track to make sure we get the joint range of motion, which is obviously a big thing after surgery. We get that better and thus then the strength as well. But your early days is just making sure that we don't get infection.
But is it critical as well, like the earlier you get them moving safely, obviously, but the earlier you get them moving, the less time the recovery process will be?
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, that's and that's key why now in hospitals we get people up day one. So that could be quite painful, and I've seen that real anxiety in someone's face, but that is so key to get them up and moving straight away.
And is the number one frustration of your job someone that does not do their rehab exercises? Like, because when someone comes to see you and you say, okay, well, you've seen me, I've treated you, now I'm going to see you this time next week, but before then, every morning, here are 6 exercises I would like you to do that will help in your recovery, and they don't do them. Do you get, is that your number one frustration of your job?
Look, that certainly is a big frustration, but to me, I won't say that's number one. For me, number one frustration is people that come into our office and into the clinic that actually do not want to get better. Now, that sounds amazing because, someone is coming into you for advice or for help, but we see that actually quite often where people are referred to us from, you know, from their GP, but they have no desire to improve or change their quality of life. And I mean, you can delve into psychology there of people, but that is a thing. We see that quite often where people are pretty happy having a kind of a victim mentality, mm-hmm. And wanting almost to stay in that position where they are. They say different, but their actions are don't align with that. And you kind of see someone that doesn't really want help or don't want to get better, but still come and take time up. So you try and help them as best as you can, but sometimes that's just a lost cause.
Well, that's a shame. But yes, no, I could imagine that would make you want to strangle somebody. So no, I totally get it. Now, I know a big thing for you is injury prevention. You talk a lot about that on your social media, which we'll plug in a moment. But tell us a little bit about injury prevention. Obviously, it's sort of common sense as to why that's important. But tell us a few things, some basic things that people can do before they step out on the exercise track to help them prevent injury.
Yeah, so definitely in terms of injury prevention, there's a couple of things going into that. Number one that I'll say again is your basics need to be in play. So you can do every stretch in the world. You can be as ready to go on the track or to go into your exercise activity. But if you have a history of sleeping 2 hours a night, if you eat all the bad foods and don't have quality nutrition, you're already setting yourself up for failure. Now, let's assume all of those things are in place and you're doing that right. Then you obviously want to be prepared for the said activity that you are going to do. So if we take running, for example, if I'm going to run, I need to make sure my joints are nice and loose, my muscles are activated and ready to produce the activity that it's going to do to produce that function that it's going to do in the activity that I'm going to do, whether that's running, whether that's weightlifting. So essentially, injury prevention will be less and less if you are prepared for that activity beforehand.
And does that mean, like, for example, just giving yourself a plenty of time for a proper normal person kind of warm up to make sure that everything's loose and ready to rock and roll and you don't go in cold and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, definitely. You have to make time for that. You can't rock up 5 minutes before something and I mean, some of us can, but that'll bite you down the track for sure. So definitely make that time for it, and that's a key part also for the everyday weekend warrior, making sure that they actually do put the time in for that warm up, and they do put the time in afterwards as well, and that will lead to less injuries down the track.
If people do get an injury, would another handy tip not to delay in regards to treatment? So would a good tip to be, if they're feeling a niggle of some kind, go see Andre, for example, and get it sussed out so that you don't obviously make it worse?
So I would say to that, it obviously does depend on, you know, what's happened. I'd say follow the kind of basic principles first, and if that doesn't settle it down in, you know, in a couple of days and the problem gets worse, I would definitely say the earlier to see a trained professional, the better. Because the longer you leave something, just the longer the recovery will be.
And we don't like that because we want to be fit and healthy and active.
Exactly.
So, Andre, where can people learn more about, because I know you're big on social media, so where can people, if they want to learn more about Andre Dipinar, where can they go, what can they do?
So, on my Instagram page, that is andre.dipinar_PT, I work there and on helping people. I try and work a little bit more with athletes, but anyone that can want help and want to work with me online can go through there and click the link there. Alternatively, I work at My Vitality Physio, and that is a private clinic which you can book in and see me there.
Well, very good. And hopefully people do give you a like and a follow and a share on your Instagram page.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, listen, it was my pleasure.
That's it.
And that brings us to the end of this week's episode of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast, rate and review. 5 stars is always good, and a friendly comment. And of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we will talk to you then.